This is a Rabble Podcast Network show.
New voices in your head.
It's Radio Free Radio.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
After 4 years of vicious civil war, Syria lies in tatters. 12 million people have been forced from their homes. Millions of those refugees have ended up in Turkey and Jordan. And hundreds of thousands more have made the perilous trek to Europe. This influx occasioned one European official to lament, "Why should we provide homes for these refugees when we didn't invade their countries?" James Paul is the author of Syria Unmasked, and he spoke with Red Eye's Sean Mullen earlier this week about the Syrian refugee crisis. Sean began by asking James to respond to the claims from some Europeans that as they bear no responsibility for the Syrian civil war, they also have no obligation to help Syrian refugees.
Well, I think that's laughable because the origins of the crisis in Syria, and of course the wider refugee crisis, if the same is true, is that these things have come out of various interventions and efforts at regime change in different countries, and in Syria in particular, this long civil war, it started in 2011, there's been really vicious intervention that has brought in a lot of Islamic fighters, and although there haven't been directly European troops or U.S. troops on the ground, there's been a lot of complicity in this process, and of course Saudi Arabia is involved, Turkey is involved, and these are, you know, countries that are acting more or less in coordination with the United States and the Europeans. So the Europeans better wake up, and I think we in the United States have to be alert, and Canada too, excuse me, to what is the responsibility of these various Western governments for these regime change crises.
Yeah, and regime change, it sounds like such a great thing when it was originally sort of floated. What's the rationale for these regime changes? I'm thinking of Libya, you know, and Syria in particular.
Well, I mean, I think it's important to think also from, you know, the perspective of Canada, that Canada was and remains quite enthusiastic about these endeavors. Lloyd Axworthy, the foreign minister, back under the Chrétien government, was one of the biggest proponents of what was called in the day humanitarian intervention, and that was a time when, of course, there was bombing and, you know, various interventionist efforts in the Balkans and the destruction of the state of Yugoslavia, which then is also producing a tremendous number of refugees coming into Europe. There's not so much discussion about that now, and of course it's possible to say, well, that happened a long time ago, there's no real connection, but actually it created these several small states that were, you know, set up for failure. So I think, you know, Canadian foreign policy has been very, very much committed to the idea of humanitarian intervention of one sort or another. And it's been a disaster, simply a disaster. And the idea that these governments, there's no history taken into account in these policy approaches, because it's necessary to understand where some of these dictatorships came from in the first place. For example, in Syria, which I did a lot of studies of the situation in Syria and the history of Syria, and as soon as Syria gained independence after World War II, there was two military coups in short succession. One of them was engineered by the CIA, and the other was engineered by MI6 of Britain. And it's this kind of cynical intervention, and those were not, of course, those were secret you know, interventions that were not justified in terms of humanitarian intervention. But humanitarian intervention is itself a justification and not a policy driver. And that's true of Canada, too, in my opinion.
And why have, why in this particular case, I'm talking about the Syrian case, why are we seeing such a large number of refugees? What has happened that to cause this?
Well, it's been a very vicious civil war, and that really hit full stride, let's say, in 2012. So 2012, 2013, 2014. So we have 3.5 years of this civil war going on. And some of the viciousness of it has to do with the way in which the, you know, religious groups have been pitted against one another and used. And Syria is quite a diverse country from a, you know, ethnic and religious point of view. There's Kurds. There's, you know, Sunni Muslims. There's a branch of Shiism called the Alawi, which is often identified with the Assad regime, which is true. But and then there's also a certain number of Christian sects, several different Christian sects. People who've been following the crisis in Iraq, for example, have learned that there's quite a few Christians in Iraq too. So anyway, and Sunnis, you know, these communities are spoken about in the Western press as if they're totally homogeneous. And in Syria, there's a lot of very secular Sunnis who don't want to be under the regime that's run by, you know, jihadis and so on. So there's quite fierce opposition within Syria, very broadly, to these. But the jihadi groups have been backed up by Saudi Arabia and Turkey and this is done with the complete support and complicity of the United States, which has been supplying arms clandestinely to these groups. And so you might say, I mean, I'm not aware that Canada has been doing that, thank goodness. But, you know, it doesn't mean mean that the crisis is just frightful there. And so there's I believe, you know, more than 4 million refugees altogether that's come out of refugees, that is, people who cross the border, and then within Syria itself, there's many, many millions more who were internally displaced persons, or IDPs, as they call them. So that's, you know, people, I mean, people don't really like to leave their home country if they can help it, but they have been just really in danger of losing their lives, losing, not having enough food and medicine and schooling and everything. So they're in desperation, have crossed the borders, and there's 1.9 million Syrians in Turkey, which is not a terribly welcoming place for them, but that's where they are. And a lot of them have been thinking about going to Europe because that's a much more, much better place to be, naturally, but it's not easy to get there. And there's a lot of Syrians in also in Jordan and in Lebanon, and some also about 125,000 in Egypt. So there's quite a few remaining in the region.
Earlier, you referred to history. Do you mean that the Western powers really didn't understand the terrain, the complexity of the society that they were getting involved in when it comes to Syria?
Well, what I'm really saying is that the public has to pay attention and the media have to pay attention to the historical context of these situations and the interventions that have taken place and the way that those regimes, because there's a lot of facile talk about how, oh, these regimes are terrible and therefore we've got to do something and the best thing to do is to overthrow them through humanitarian intervention of some sort. The responsibility to protect is the doctrine that Canada and others have been pursuing. And it sounds nice, you know. If you know nothing, it sounds nice. Once you know something about the place, you don't need to, I mean, I wrote a whole book about the bad acts and the human rights violations of the Assad regime. So I'm nobody who's in favor of the, you know, well-being and future success of Bashar al-Assad. But at the same time, you have to understand what it means to have a civil, to promote a civil war in a country for 3.5 years. And the government of Canada may not be directly supporting that civil war through arms and money, but they certainly are not saying anything critical about what's going on. So there's a terrible failure of responsibility on Canada's part too, but of course much more complicity on the side of the United States and the Western European powers who've been playing this game. And it's a game that has to do with regional rivalries with the Russians and all kinds of, you know, big power games that are going on, and the people of Syria are paying for it. And if you, as I have, been to Syria, know many Syrians, know the beauty of Syrian, you know, Syria's countryside and its cities and everything like that, it's tragic beyond belief.
So hundreds of thousands of refugees are coming to Europe. Is this causing political tensions within the host countries there?
Well, sure. I mean, it's because there's, you know, to put it in context, for example, in Germany, which is the main recipient, the total number of refugees expected to arrive in Germany this year is 800,000. Now, I forget exactly Germany's population. I think it's between 80 and 90 million. So it's, you know, you could say it's a small number, but actually it's quite a large number. And the inflow is so fast that it's not about a number, you know, a static number, but it's about the flow of people coming in and what that means. I mean, in railroad stations and, you know, in urban areas and so on. And it puts in a lot of stress. Now, It's a small number by comparison with the number that's in Turkey, for example, or even that's in Jordan. But it's still a number that worries people in an orderly society like Germany as to what this is going to mean, not only in the present but in the future. What happens if, you know, the 800,000 is four times as many as the year before? What if it becomes four times as many in the next year? The numbers have been going up very radically, so fast, in fact, that the German authorities have closed the border in a number of places and they're not allowed trains to come in and so on. But the Germans have been relatively open in welcoming refugees in over the last month compared to almost all the other countries. Sweden is the only other country in Europe that has been relatively welcoming, and some, like, you know, for example, Hungary, have said they're unwilling to accept any. And in Germany itself, there have been very, very nasty neo-Nazi groups that have been, for example, firebombed buildings where refugees have been staying. There's been, I don't know how many firebombings in the last 2 or 3 months, but I would say it's, you know, might be 10 or so, which is a very large number of, you know, extremely violent acts. And there have been, you know, tens of thousands of right-wing Germans marching in the streets against the refugees and so on. So it's while the government is taking a, you know, fairly liberal policy perspective on all this, within the society there's a tremendous amount of conflict over the issue.
A couple of ideas that I've heard floated to help solve this refugee crisis and the problem in Syria is, one is economic assistance to the home country, and another, military intervention again. Do either of those solutions strike you as viable?
Well, I was trying to indicate that, you know, military intervention is not what, you know, what do you do? I'm aware that, for example, in France, there's a lot of talk now that France was the former colonial country in Syria, and so, you know, France likes to feel a special ownership of these former colonial countries, and so they think, yes, we need to do something, and that thing will be military intervention. but actually in the military establishment, this is true in the military establishment in the U.S., or presumably it's true in Canada as well, military don't like to get involved in these things because they know that you can't, it's not a war that you win. It's not a normal war. It's a very, very sticky situation. And the United States military was in a mess in Iraq, and nothing good came of it. And they were, you know, really, it was an embarrassment and worse. And some were worried that they would be, you know, brought into trial for war crimes and so on and so forth. So military intervention in a situation like this is definitely, it's a terrible idea. And it also detracts from the real kind of solutions, which have to do with the solving of the reasons for this war, for the civil war that's going on in that society. And the first thing to do is to stop the flow of arms, stop the, you know, green lights that are being given to Saudi Arabia and Turkey and all the rest. And I say also stop the bombing, you know, of Islamic State forces, you know, which is the United States is doing that, and France is involved in that too, within Syria and within Iraq too, because there needs to be some kind of political settlement in these situations. But the first thing is to get the foreign fighters out of there, get the all of weapons flows and financial flows and stuff going to the rebel forces, and then start a political process.
And that was James Paul speaking with Red Eye's Sean Mullen earlier this week. James Paul is the author of Syria Unmasked.